I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to Eureka, the show that gets under the skin of science as we invite a new expert every week to help us answer one of science's most interesting questions. I'm Rick Edwards.
And I'm Dr. Michael Brooks.
What you got for us this week?
Well, you know how you're quite into football?
Yes.
And you're quite into maths?
Yes.
Well, Christmas has come early for you because I'm putting the two together.
Yes! How?
So we're going to look at the application of stats and AI in football. And so, we could look at it in sports more generally, but, you know, let's focus in on how, let's be honest, physicists are changing the face of football.
So we've got maths and football together.
Yeah.
Is there a way that you can bring in my third great love, the octopus? I think there might be.
Well, you know, remember Paul?
Of course I remember Paul the octopus.
Of course you do.
So definitely, I mean, dead now.
Dead now, yeah, obviously. 2010 World Cup, that was. So you're going to Qatar for the World Cup, for Five Live.
Yeah.
I was thinking that maybe you could find an aquarium and go and find an octopus.
The new Paul.
Find the new Paul.
Pauline.
But then I looked into Qatar's aquariums,
yeah,
and there aren't any.
No aquariums.
No aquariums. There's a few fish in the zoo, apparently, in Doha.
What are they in? They're on land. They're struggling.
Bit of sand.
Well, that's... I'm really surprised they haven't got an aquarium.
Yeah, well, I mean...
they're trying to sort of encourage tourism. You want to have a nice aquarium.
I'm just saying, that was my research. I couldn't find an aquarium. There's people who will sell you aquarium equipment.
Mm.
Like, so presumably there's people with very big houses that have nice aquariums in them with, like, fancy tropical fish. But there's no, like, public go and see a shark and an octopus.
I can't envisage a situation where I'm going round to rich people's houses in Qatar to ask if they've got an octopus.
Oh, come on, this is a feature on the plate.
Yeah, knocking on the door. Hello, sir. Well, slightly weird request. Do you remember Paul in the 20... Don't shut the door! Long gone are the days of mere whistles, stopwatches and chalkboards. Today there is an unprecedented amount of information on players and teams. From their diets to how long they sleep, players, managers and other team members are all tracked and analysed. But is it worth it? Does science and machine learning trump natural talent and human instinct? And how much do you follow the science, and how far do you trust your instincts? That's why this week we're asking, can AI win us the World Cup?
It's a good question, isn't it?
I've literally
wondered about not the World Cup, but like the Premier League. For years and years, I've been thinking this must be possible.
It's the sort of Moneyball approach, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Mm. So yeah, American baseball has effectively done it to a certain degree. As we'll find out, you know, it's definitely happened in the Premier League. But it also is happening on the international scale as well. So the World Cup seems like it's a possibility if you can get the maths right. And our expert today is Sven Schwerin Wenzel, who's a senior developer for SAP Sports One at German sports data company SAP. Now, they call themselves the number one cloud platform for football in the sports and entertainment industry.
How many cloud platforms are there?
Well, I think there's a few, okay. Actually, nowadays there's a few. So SAP did a partnership with the German FA in 2013 to help them, you know, kind of focus the national team. Guess who won the World Cup in 2014?
Germany.
We might be onto something here.
Could be onto something here, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Okay. So what does a company like SAP actually, do?
Right. Well, I mean, that's the first thing I asked Sven.
SAP Sports One, as I said, is SAP's number one cloud platform for football based on SAP HANA. And it's a whole suite of applications supporting teams in their performance improvement and team organization, as well as opponent preparation. So we have topics like team management, match or training insights. We care about the player health and fitness. We do support scouting for players and for teams. We also focus on penalty insights and tactic insights, but that's not everything. So we also support the player engagement and the engagement with the team by providing them with a series of mobile applications such as Team One, Scout One, Challenger Insights and Player Fitness. So this is basically a lighthouse product for SAP to showcase how to become best in an industry and also be a role model for digitization in general.
Yeah, so it makes it sound quite dry, to be fair to Sven. Presumably, SAP aren't the only firm who are up to this.
So there's a firm called StatsBomb 360, which has got into it quite recently. Yeah, it is a better name, isn't it? That's started by an American sports gambling geek called Ted Knutson.
Of course it's a gambler.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Yeah. So, but he's been involved with football for quite a few years now via various sort of Premier League teams and stuff. And they supply data and analysis to half the Premier League teams, they say. So
StatsBomb 360.
Yeah. SAP's sort of one, and the StatsBomb, and I think there's some others as well. So although obviously our experts from SAP, so we're going to hear a lot about what they do, this is sort of becoming a kind of a general thing now, which is going to be one of the issues that comes up as we get into this. And as you say, I mean, it's sort of other sports like baseball, like the Moneyball thing. Mm. It's happened in hockey, basketball as well. So somebody did analysis on three-point shooting versus two-point shooting and where you should be, you know, and how often you should be going for 3 points. And that was sort of, you know, real sort of rigorous statistical analysis. But I'm focusing on football. The first psychometric test or first data testing was before the 1958 World Cup.
Really?
Done by the Brazilians. So they basically had a kind of psychometric test for their team. So where they looked at personalities and tried to get a sort of a quantitative measure of who should be in the squad and who shouldn't. And guess who they said definitely shouldn't be in the squad because of his infantile and lacking fighting spirit?
Pele.
Yeah.
Well done, guys.
So obviously the manager's like, yeah, thanks for that. Yeah. He's in.
Appreciate your time. Have you seen this guy play football at all?
And he scored 6 during the championship, 2 in the final, I think, and they won. So, you know,
it's sort of hard to argue, isn't it? Yeah.
And the psychometric tests were like on the sidelines going, oh, yeah, but look at him.
That's not helping our case.
Yeah, but he's infantile.
Yeah.
And he lacks fighting spirit. So, I mean, the data isn't always that helpful. So the owners of Liverpool, Fenway Sports Group, did this big in baseball. They were like, you know, after the Moneyball thing, they were
with
just
the Red
like,
Sox.
You know, yeah. So they've encouraged basically this kind of take up at Liverpool. So what you have is Liverpool actually sort of really pioneering this in the Premier League, going back a few years now. At the same time, though, you have this sort of, you know, the SAP working with the German Football Association. And, you know, so this sort of coming through, and now the English Football Association is also working with data providers, and in fact, working with Google Cloud Software, doing things like penalty analysis, which,
I mean,
you could argue, you know, we definitely need.
an AI is never spitting out Harry Maguire as a person you need to take. So,
no,
presumably.
But what it's doing, so what happens is they track all of the penalty kicks taken by any player or all players throughout their career.
Yeah.
And an AI can just chew that up and spit out like this, you know, there's a sort of 57% chance they'll go left or, you know, top
left.
And you just feed that to the goalkeepers before the game.
Yeah.
So you're
and
like,
they write
okay.
it on their little water bottle.
Yeah. So, you know, it is useful information.
Yeah.
Partly it's almost useful just that like the guy who's taking the penalty knows that the goalkeeper knows his stats. Yeah, so it becomes this like real sort of interesting war of attrition.
Yeah.
And the guy taking the penalty knows that the goalkeeper tends to dive left when he doesn't know what to do and stuff like this. So it sort of adds a new dimension to the game, effectively.
Yeah.
And Gareth Southgate says that they've analysed thousands of penalty kicks and all the players' preferences and the goalkeepers as well. And you know, so they sort of. Yeah, you know, this data is sort of really happening and really making a difference.
Is the issue that if everyone does it, then it's a sort of level playing field, and so no
well,
one gets an advantage?
So this is probably where we're going to end up when we sort of look at the come back to the question. So interestingly, so coming right up to date this year in May, the Carabao Cup final. Mm-hmm. Remember the penalties?
Yeah.
Liverpool won, obviously. And afterwards, Klopp basically said he'd had input from a neuroscience company that had been working with the company and just sort of talking about the psychology of penalties and looking at data as well and sort of, you know, working out exactly what to do. And he sort of basically cited them as being, you know, partly responsible for the success that Liverpool had in that penalty shootout. So that's quite interesting to sort of see them sort of acknowledging this kind of impact. And the FA says that, you know, it's leveraging basically Google Cloud Analytics and stuff. And so it's in partnership, basically. And they're getting all this data now. They say they've got 23 million data points every year. 300,000 statistics from 1,300 players across 30,000 fixtures a year, all getting fed into the AI. And then, you know, people sort of pulling analysis out of it. So so there's sort of, you know, there's lots going on. The question is it useful?
Yeah, yeah. And also, I suppose the question is, how are you, like, there must be so much data. How are you gathering it all?
Right, so Sven walked me through a typical week of their data gathering.
Typical week that starts probably on Monday morning with a questionnaire that's being sent around to everyone, not only the players but also the staff, and asking for their sleeping experience, asking for their daily performance, how they feel. This is up to the physiotherapist or the team doctors to decide which questions to track here. And these questionnaires can be set up for an individual point in time during the day. They can be set up to send out right after the match, right after training. So this is one part. And then probably the fitness coaches and the coaches have set up a training schedule during the week for the different exercises with SAP Sports One. And then the training itself happened, and then the data trackers collected a lot of data, and the systems that record these data are connected to SAP Sports One. The data gets imported and can be analyzed through SAP Sports One directly for the entire team or for individual athletes. And using tools like Video Cockpit in SAP Sports One, the match analysts can provide players with individual performance scenes, and the trainer can comment on these scenes, can suggest where potential weaknesses might be visible and what the player can do the next time, and maybe even send a reference benchmark scene to see how the player should act the next time. And this is very interactive, and wherever the players are, it's very, very pervasive feedback.
I have to say, the idea of like Harry Maguire, and I don't know why but he does come to mind. It's like you know, him getting a questionnaire on a Monday morning. I don't imagine it fills him with joy.
No. And self-reported stuff is always it's a bit fiddly, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. But I guess they're covering all the bases. Yeah. I mean, the main thing is they want to analyze the games, and they don't want coaches to have to, you know, obviously they can't watch like every game that's played.
No.
So the AI sort of and the software just allows you to be able to hone in, like focus in on the things that really matter.
Hmm.
So I've sort of found it easy to break it down into four different parts. So you've got the individual data on each of the players,
yeah,
then the match data.
Uh-huh.
And then you've got the analysis of all of that. And then you've obviously got to feed that back and report that back to the coaches and manager. So it's a huge undertaking, actually. Mm. It's a massive thing. So you start with the individuals. I found this thing from Everton where they, online, the club sort of obviously had to write something to the parents of kids who are in the academy and basically saying, your kid must wear this GPS vest and the heart rate monitor, basically, yeah, in everything that they're doing with the club, mm-hmm, so every mm-hmm. training session, everything. And they're saying, you know, they just gather all this data from day one,
yeah,
on these players. So you know how much they're doing in training. And obviously, and this is all the way through to the first team who are playing with these things on,
yeah,
you know, in the matches. And you see them, don't you? And they've got little lumps in their back now,
yeah,
as they play. And that's just gathering all the data about how far they're running, where they are at any moment in the game.
Yeah, seeing how it's all evolving as well. It must be fascinating, actually.
Yeah, and also they're doing like biomechanics stuff. So they can see if they're performing slightly, you know, when they're performing at their peak, they've got a record of what that looks like. And then if they're injured, how long it takes them to get back to those things, how long they are injured for and they don't train or they train in very limited ways. And you can kind of build up an image of how fast a particular player recovers from injury. And I guess that's going to go into their value. Like, it's part of the algorithm.
Totally, yeah.
You know, because these are they're like racehorses, aren't they, these footballers,
yeah,
basically. So,
yeah,
you know, they're pots of money running around a pitch to a club in a lot of ways. So they've got that. They're gathering that data on all the individuals. But then you've got missile tracking technology that's installed at all the grounds for tracking the ball during a game. So you're literally tracking every movement of every mm-hmm. player and every movement of the ball. So you know where the player is in relation to the ball at any one time, any time during the sort of 90 minutes. So you end up with about 1.5 million data points from every game of football from the Premier League. And that's including every touch of every player on the ball. And then, you know, it will also analyse, you know, completed passes and where those passes and what region of the field the passes are in. So it's literally isn't, you know, it's really not just like, oh, he scored a goal and he assisted. You know, dense. It's so incredible.
They're even going beyond the pre-assist.
Yeah. So the guy who sort of really sort of spearheaded this is a guy called William Spearman. Did his PhD at CERN on the Higgs boson.
And then thought...
And then sacked this. Found that. Let's move on.
Tick.
So he sort of got involved. I mean, so Liverpool picked him up quite early. I think it was 2012 he joined the club.
Mm-hmm.
It's his job to take all this. So this is the analysis stage and work out how to do it. And he wrote an algorithm on pitch control, which Klopp used and Liverpool for a while. So this is, I think, the sort of 2018, 2019, they started to get a reputation for controlling whole regions of the pitch. If you wanted to move the ball, you had to go around this region that Liverpool controlled.
Mm.
And it was just that the way you arrange the players on the pitch actually gives you this massive territory, which stops everyone, you know, coming through. So, you know, it's
really interesting. I guess it's sort of formalizing stuff that managers and coaches will have sort of intuitively understood always.
But probably not at that scale of thought about, oh, if I've got, you know, if I've actually got five players in these positions, that means there's no way through.
Mm.
You know, they won't have thought that very explicitly. They've just thought, you know, we need to occupy that space. But actually, if you formalize it, you can sort of then sort of rigidly teach your players to, that's what you must do.
Yeah.
And it's a bit like the sort of, you know, the Roman legions where they just link shields and there's no way through. You know, it's sort of that coordinated activity just becomes something that's incredibly powerful. And then they also pioneered this thing called the goal probability. So at any particular point, if the ball is here and this pass is made, what is the, you know, what's the goal probability in the next 15 seconds? And then you can sort of work back from a goal and work out what are the kinds of scenarios in which a goal comes in the, you know, in the next 15 seconds. And so you aim to create those scenarios.
Yeah, so you're like, what is a useful pass here?
Yeah, exactly. And then so then you have the goal probability added by a player. So what action a player has done that takes that goal probability from, you know, a certain value up to an increased value. And you look at that and you say, well, you know, you should do that more often. So that might be a, you know, cross pitch pass that just goes from one side to the other. And all of a sudden, 10 seconds later, the ball's in the back of the net, because actually that kind of move just completely disables the opposition. So obviously, you know, they're sort of being quite simplistic, but if you know like what the team's chance of scoring is at this time, and then you, if you do that, it goes up to this, then obviously you know how to sort of tweak.
Start doing that.
Yeah. So it's sort of quite obvious in a sense when you do it. But of course you have to report that back to the managers and the players in a way that they can take.
Sort of can take it on board. Yeah.
Because you're not showing Harry Maguire a graph. Like goal probability.
Poor old Harry Maguire. I mean, my first measure of Harry Maguire was just that.
He's
not very good at football.
But now he's thick. He looks a bit thick, doesn't he?
Yeah, but I don't. I sort of.
I don't know
like
if he is. I don't know
when,
him at all.
When I've heard him speak, I don't think he is.
Okay.
I'm not a great apologist or defender of Harry Maguire, but I don't think he's a moron.
Yeah. No. I'm sure he's not.
He just looks.
Just
like
looks
a lump.
Like it.
Yeah. Looks like a lump.
Yeah. Sorry.
But the data might tell you otherwise.
Yeah, so and the data just gets really kind of interesting, like in terms of how you then, so you report it back and the people have to sort of deal with it. And then, you know, so gain, I mean, you can now take tablets into the dugout. So you couldn't do this a few years back, but you can take internet connected tablets in. So you can literally analyze, like, you know, in the last set piece, we did this. And actually the algorithms come back and said, we need to do something slightly different because they're playing in this particular way. So you're getting sort of, you know, to the point where you can do live updates.
Real-time feedback.
Do you remember a few months back when I said to you, I was like, I know nothing about football tactics and I don't understand what the manager's saying to the subs as they come on. Like, you know, they're going through this, like, you know, the clipboard stuff. And I'm like, surely they're just like, no, they're playing centre-half and they just come on and play centre-half. Mm. And apparently it's more complicated than that.
Yeah, also just the fact you've said centre half really ages you.
Left wing.
Inside right. Okay, let's hold that thought. Time for a quick break. When we get back, we'll be looking at the risks of a data-led approach, the future of the field, and we'll be answering today's question, can AI win us the World Cup?
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds. And they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Okay, we're back. So you've got all of this data, loads and loads of data. You've translated that into reports. I am quite interested in how it's applied. That feels like the trickiest step here. Like, getting the data, fine. Analyzing the data, fine. Then going from the report to digestible, useful information, both for the managers and for the players.
Yeah.
That feels difficult.
And that will be the stuff that we don't know about because it's all proprietary. So, yes. So you can imagine that yeah. is this kind of secret source that gives you a really good sort of insight. But a lot of it isn't just like in-game stuff or even like post-match analysis. A lot of it is just much more over the sort of long term of, like, you know, who these people are, you know, what, how many games should you be playing with a particular player? You know, should you be how should you rotate the squad? Who's performing well under the stress and who's actually not? So there's a lot of squad management stuff.
Okay, so it's kind of macro.
Yeah,
that makes sense.
Yeah, so this is something that Sven told me about.
The focus and the benefits of SAP Sports One in sports is manifold. And in the first place, it's definitely to support the on-pitch scenarios, but there are many, many off-pitch scenarios that are nevertheless tied to the players and the team behind the team, the staff. So basically the overall objective when using SAP Sports One is to digitize clubs or organizations and to help them improve their sports performance and team management processes overall. You need to have processes around team management that organize basically all your teams that you have set up in the club, from U15, U18, U20, up to the A teams on both sides, male and female. And you do want to care about your youth talent development. So you have a lot of processes around setting up the communication between the players, the coaches, and for younger players, especially also for their parents. And so this all needs to be organized. And another pillar is the scouting. You need to get into the scouting of other players, yeah?
Ah, yeah. Scouting feels like where this is really coming into its own.
So this is the thing, like going back to that Everton thing, like, you know, you've got the kids coming into the academy and you've got all the data on every move they've made on the training pitch. And you kind of know everything about their fitness and about their levels of commitment and how often they're turning up to training, when they're injured. If they're getting injured a fair amount, they're just going to be out straight away.
Yeah.
But if they are doing well, it's sort of going on a record of like, okay, this kid is going to be worth money to us. You know, that's effectively how it goes. And that sort of is, you know, going on everywhere around the world. Like every club is doing this now. So you get this amazing situation where there's just a massive database of footballers and managers as well. So Klopp wouldn't be at Liverpool without these data people. So I mentioned the guy who got his PhD at the Higgs boson. There's another guy who's an astrophysicist, and then there's a theoretical physicist. So all three of them got PhDs in physics, and this is Liverpool's data research team. And back when Liverpool were looking for a new manager, they were looking at Klopp, but apparently the boardroom was like, well, Borussia Dortmund haven't done that well this year, so why are we going to bring Klopp in? And the data research team ran the data on what Borussia Dortmund had done, the plays they'd made, how close they came to scoring goals, you know, the kind of way that Klopp was running the team. And the data said they'd just been really unlucky in not being able to actually, you know, finish and win matches. But the strategies that we're using were incredibly close to what Liverpool wanted to play. So Klopp has said he wouldn't be at the club if it wasn't for the data management team.
I find that stuff so fascinating, and it rings really true because football is rife with with narratives.
Like
people love narratives. People love to tell stories and kind of try and spot patterns, but we're not very good at it.
Yeah.
And it's a sort of quite appealing narrative to say, oh, well, after a certain amount of time, this manager's teams are knackered. So that's the thing that people say about Klopp quite a lot. But the reality is that it's such fine margins that determine the result of a game. But if you haven't seen the game or sort of properly analysed it, you could come away and go, well, they've lost to that that team. That's a disastrous result. They only lost to that team. But if they've had, that's why XG is, I mean, I know people don't like XG, expected goals.
Yeah,
but I think it does tell a story. Like, I mean, obviously it doesn't tell the whole thing, but if you have the XG alongside the final score, you get much more of a sense of what kind of game was that. And I think, you know, just this season, there have been a few, like Liverpool obviously having a shocking season results-wise.
Yeah, yeah.
But there have been a few games where we just should have scored. Like, they kind of did everything right except score, which I know is the point, but it is quite significant. And so it's interesting to hear that that's sort of what they were saying about this last season at Dortmund. And just a bit unlucky. It just
it's interesting what you say about human intuition as well, because apparently with intuition, like, everyone was saying, don't buy Navi Keita.
Yeah.
Because his completed passes, you know, we look at his record of completed passes, they're not particularly good. He doesn't stand out. But then the data guys dug a bit deeper and they said, yes, but let's look at his completed passes that then go on to improve the sort of, you know, the goal probability and the score. And it turned out he was a genius, basically, you know, and so they brought him in and said, you know, this is the guy we want. Even though the data, if you look at the wrong bit of the data or analyze it the wrong way, you would say he's not good. Mm. And this is where all the fine margins are. Because
they have analyzed whether he was always going to be injured.
I would have loved to do that. Yeah. But I mean, that's the thing, isn't it? Because there will have been data on injuries and stuff like that for him. But this is the fine margins of, like, you know, basically you want to spot an undervalued player. That you can acquire them really cheap. They'll do a really good job for you. You'll sell them for many, many millions more.
He was quite expensive. But
So maybe he wasn't cheap. But Ollie Watkins, Brentford did this with Ollie Watkins. They bought him for $2 million, sold him for $35 million.
But and Brentford are another team that are really into data, aren't they?
Really into data.
Yeah, yeah. It's American owner.
It's American owner, but the guy who's behind StatsBomb 360, I think, was the data guy for them.
Yeah.
And it was, you know, it worked for them. So it's kind of interesting. But, you know, so what you've got is basically detailed data on hundreds of thousands of players around the world. And, you know that only like 5%...
Do clubs share the data, though?
Well, that's interesting because I haven't found that out, but it must be on... I think the Premier League might be sharing data on players.
Because Opta provide Opta thing. A lot of stuff. Yeah. Maybe you pay...
You pay a subscription,
and then you can get the Opta stats.
Yeah,
because actually, if just thinking about sort of very pragmatically, if you're a selling team or a buyer, well, either way, actually, if you know that you've got a player who. No, hang on. This doesn't work, does it? Is it in your interest?
It's about how you're analysing those stats.
I'm trying to work out whether it is in the interests of you as a team to share your players' data.
Well, no, it's in the interest of the club that everyone shares their data, because if you believe you've got the best data analysis, then you will make the most out of it.
It's like
a game of poker, isn't it?
Yeah.
Effectively.
The more information you've got.
It's all about information and how you use it. And if you're good at using it, as Liverpool clearly were, not sure. Well, I mean, they were much better at using it than other teams were, and now I think others have caught up. Basically,
yeah.
So you know, but this is how modern football works now, through physics.
It's still surely at some level going to come down to human intuition. I just can't see that you can get away from that, or it's going to be a. It's going to be a balance, isn't it? So you give people as much information as you can, and then they have to use their judgment. Like, how important do I think this is versus what I feel as an experienced, successful football manager?
So as we know, you know, you're not going to say to a bunch of physicists, can you run the Premier League club for us? Because, you know, you've got
great
all the
experiment.
Data.
Yeah. Love to see it.
I'm in, by the way.
Yeah.
But, you know, so you've got all the data analysis that you can do, but you still, you know, have to find that balance with the human input. So yeah, Sven was very clear about that.
The challenge even for AI is that the data might be there, but the data needs to be rated. And so another phase of AI you see out there is that systems that can detect events and entire matches to let the coaches rate these scenes. So rate these results out of AI processes so that the coach, the human brain, basically decides whether this was now a good scene or a good result found or not. And this is the kind of deep learning in AI that makes AI very useful. And even the rating of a good scene differs from club to club because of the deviating match philosophies and cultures and influencing factors. Yeah? So I think we are far away from having a machine run an automated, a full automated match analysis that just drops out a PDF or an interactive graphics to coaches and scouts without having the coach to review the assumptions behind and to review details. But it can save the coaches and staff a lot of time.
Yeah, really interesting.
So
yeah,
it's a bit like, you know how radiographers can look at an image, a scan, and spot a tumor, say, in a lung?
Yeah.
And they're quite good at it. And AI can do exactly the same thing with image analysis. But actually, if you use an AI and a radiographer together,
they're amazing.
Yeah.
Similar thing happening here, really.
Yeah.
And so it's about using your manager's intuition, like your philosophy of how you want to play,
yeah,
with the information that the AI is churning out and saying, ah, yeah, that's really interesting. We like that. And then telling the AI.
Yeah.
And then with that going, actually, that's not so relevant for us, or we don't really care about that. So forget that. And so you're kind of working with the AI until you've got a good system where
the AI has watched every game in the Premier League for the last 10 years, effectively.
And
he's got a perfect memory of all the interesting and notable points. And can just say, oh, that's like in the 2011 season when Leicester played Liverpool and this happened. And it's like they can just pull those things out. There's no coach in the world.
The AI is a great pub bore. Effectively. Okay. Oh, yes. Yeah. That is exactly. Presumably, now all of the clubs are doing this because the gains are so big. I mean, there's so much money.
I think, whether it's true or not, I think the success of Liverpool through that sort of period of 2018, 2019, 2020, the sort of the way that whole thing just escalated and it was like amazing force to be reckoned with. And at the same time, we were hearing about the data analysis team and what was going on there means that everyone will surely have said, oh, I want a piece of that. And I found a job advert somebody sent this to me. It was on LinkedIn in 2020 from the City Football Group, Manchester, England, United Kingdom. Mm-hmm. Job is called performance physicist.
Oh.
And it says, City Football Group's data insights and decision technology department are looking for a curious and imaginative physicist with a passion for deriving actionable insights from football data. So basically, they're looking for their spearman. They're looking for the guy to do this. The competitive salary in line with the physics industry. I'm not sure how competitive that is.
Yeah, I think you want to make it a bit more competitive.
Yeah, I'm not getting £400,000 a week, am I?
I mean, that's really funny because you think about what's happening at that time. City have been absolutely smashed by Liverpool in the league. And they're like, right, we'll have a piece of what they've got.
Yeah, yeah. It's like 101, isn't it? It's like HR. Yeah. HR have said, do you know what? You know what we really need? What they've got. So the job purpose is to uncover fundamental truths that can be applied universally to squad management, player development, and football performance. The role will involve the application of physics-based concepts to solve football-focused performance challenges.
It's fantastic. What a great job advert that is.
It's just so fantastic, isn't it? And you've got to have a first-class or second-class degree in physics, an MSc or a PhD. So I'm in. Oh, it closed 17th of February 2020.
A little bit late.
Yeah.
So that was middle of the season as well.
Panic.
Pep's like, get me a physicist pronto.
Yeah, I absolutely love
it. Why haven't I got a physicist?
Yeah, amazing. So I think that's where we're at, it's like everyone's realised that this actually, it's not the final, answer to everything, but it really obviously helps. And now, of course, all the gains are evened out.
You can also, that's the thing, isn't it? Like, if everyone has, I guess there's going to be varying quality, but if everyone has it, it is going to make your gains smaller.
Yeah, yeah. The playing field's kind of level again.
Yeah, yeah.
And I wonder if that's what's happened to Liverpool in a sense.
Possibly. Yeah, possibly. So, and you also, you know why the clubs don't really, that you don't hear people talk about this stuff, do you?
No.
Because no football fan wants to hear it.
No, no.
Because it's not exactly the romance of the game, is it? Like, well, we've got the physicists, they're analysing everything and they're basically telling us what to do. And that seems to be working for us, and we're confident we'll get Champions League.
There's a great picture of Spearman holding the Champions League trophy.
Well, we've won every trophy. So take your pick.
All right, so he's holding the Champions League trophy and I think the Premier League trophy.
Premier League trophy,
side by side, as if it was like, you know, maybe he had something to do with it.
Yeah, and I think he did.
And the Higgs boson as well, and, you know, juggling that with
Higgs boson in his pocket. Okay, so the question, can AI win us the World Cup? I'm going to say no. Because everyone will be using it. I think that's the reason. Mm. If you were the one nation who were ahead of the game, like Germany were,
2014,
then maybe.
Yeah.
But in an era where everyone's doing it, no, I don't think so. It might give you a few little marginal gains.
I'm going to say if the final goes to penalties, yes, it can.
But if both teams have got the same sorts of data analysis.
Yeah, but if you've
then...
got good analysis, if you've got better analysis, it's still AI winning it, isn't it? Maybe. No.
I think there's too much. There's too much else going on in terms of the players taking the penalties and the goalkeepers. AI can have maybe a small influence on helping the goalkeeper, but it's just that it can't really account for the stress, tiredness, pressure. I just don't know.
But then that's where it got all its data. It got in those situations of tiredness, stress, and pressure.
Should
we see what Sven had to say?
Yes, please.
I would leave the answer open, honestly, because I think AI can be a big supporter. It increases the odds, as said, of winning the World Cup, and it is at the end a match competition to figure out who is the best, and there are other influencing factors next to AI that make up the quality of a team, like joy of playing football and the unpredictability of a football match itself. AI can tremendously support coaches and involved staff in the decision making, but the human being is at the end always the people that make decisions, even on the pitch.
That's the crux, isn't it? The unpredictability and human error.
Yeah,
I think are ultimately the sort of.
I still like the idea that. Just it gives enough
a little bit of an edge. Yeah. Increasingly, I mean, to be honest, if it's saying it's increasing your probability of winning, you'd take that, wouldn't you?
Yeah, absolutely.
But fundamentally, Chrissy Waddle skying it. Like, an AI can't do anything about that.
No.
You know what I mean?
No, you're right.
Eureka is a Stack production presented by Dr. Michael Brooks and Rick Edwards. The production team is Temi Adebayo, Katie Baxter, Luke Moore and Charlie Morgan. Sound design by Katie Baxter.
Special thanks to today's expert, Sven Schwerin-Wenzel.
Please subscribe and rate wherever you listen to your podcast. It does make a massive difference.
We also really love hearing from you guys. So if you have any burning questions you want us to answer, drop us an email at eureka@stack.london, or you can find us, as always, on Twitter at EurekaPod.
Eureka is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.